Welcome to the Coffee with Karen podcast, a weekly chat show discussing everything from holistic health to current affairs from a mental, physical, and spiritual perspective. Get your weekly cup of positivity with a sprinkling of woo-woo.
There we go. So welcome to the show. Today is episode 196. And today we have Michelle Duffy, who is an awakening and empowering coach, but she's also a certified rapid resolution therapy facilitator. And today we're going to be talking about how to clear traumas and awaken to your true joy, purpose, and healthy relationships. I'm your host, Karen Roberts, helping coaches and therapists to get their message heard to those who need to hear it through podcasting. Now, Michelle studied engineering and did a master's in business administration to then work in corporate for 15 years. Now, all this time, she studied metaphysics and spirituality on the side. And at age 35, she had a profound change. Motherhood. Oh, yes, that is a profound change, which led her down a rabbit hole of meditation, healing, and finally serving others. She curated her signature program, Becoming a Heart for Miracles Academy, which is a 14-week on-demand program to teach others. And it's science meets spirituality, which I love, through 15 principles that have transformed her life of depression and victimhood into one of empowerment and joy. So welcome to the show, Michelle.
Thank you, Karen. I'm so happy to be here.
That's a pretty big transformation, right? Going from corporate into this. And yes, I just shared sort of part of your story there. Mm-hmm. But first of all, if you'd like to maybe go back a little bit and fill in some of the blanks on how and why you came to be doing what you're currently doing.
Yes, of course. I see this happening more and more with people too, which is amazing. All of these transformations. For me, it really started way, way back when I was around 7 years old. I grew up to be a very depressed kid. I was bullied around first and second grade and didn't have a lot of friends. So I was really depressed until around age 15. Everything changed then. I was able to go to another school, and that helped a lot. The environment, the people, they were more laid back. I felt more at ease. But I think it was also the combination of that with nature. This place was immersed in nature, and I really hadn't been in a place like that before. I grew up in Mexico City, and there's not a lot of that there. And this was in Oregon. So I was in Oregon and the States, and everything was so green. And I used to go out jogging. And one day I had a profound awakening moment. That was like my first spiritual awakening. And it was just a beautiful time of, I felt engulfed in this unconditional love. And I heard a voice that said, you start living your life, start choosing for yourself what to do. You do know what to do it. And I felt so safe, and it changed me forever. Like, it took away my depression. It allowed me to really tap into my intuition and start choosing for me. I felt that before that everything was chosen for me and I didn't have any say in anything. When I went back to Mexico, I told my parents that I didn't want to go back to the school that I was in before. I still had 2 more years of high school, and I chose where to go. And they were very supportive. I think they had seen all the changes. And so it was great. It was great that they realized that I needed this and I needed to make my own road, so to speak. And that's when I met the right people and started studying about different religions and metaphysics. But it was all so strange, I think, to my family that I kept it like a secret. Like, they didn't really know that I was studying this on the side, because of course I had to do something normal or traditional with my life. And I was pretty good at math. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go into engineering. And that took me down to corporate. And that's when I realized I was more of a people person. So I ended up in marketing, in corporate marketing. And it was great. I had a great time. I did, you know, very well for myself. But really, everything came to that fork in the road, so to speak, when my first child was born. I was already in a different country. We had moved for my husband's work to Venezuela, and I was still working with my US company from abroad. But I started to notice that I was losing my shit, so to speak, with my kid all the time. Now I can say it, but it was not fun. It was like actually scary. I got to several moments where I was like, oh my God, who am I? I know I'm not a horrible person, but like this kid was bringing out the worst in me. And I knew that it wasn't him. I was like, he's just one. He's just 1 year old. What can he really be his fault? And even though I took some parenting courses, I realized that it wasn't him, because the parenting courses are more about how do you talk to the kid? What do you do with the kid? And that was not working for me. And that's when I realized that I had to fix myself. I don't know. I had to do something to change the way I was being stressed out about things that were happening in that country with my husband's job and then me being a new mom. And all of these things together were making me really just be stressed out for anything and take it out on him because he was there. I knew I wanted to be a better mother, and I didn't know anything about at that moment about the subconscious mind and trauma, which is the rabbit hole that I started going down with. First, I started doing more meditation and learning, and it was everything. It was like, when I go down a rabbit hole, I go all in it. So I was like devouring everything, like books and going to seminars. And on the weekends, I was like, take the kid. I got to go do this like weekend long retreat. I was like all into everything because I was like, this has got to change. And my parents, they're amazing. They did the best they could. But I know that my mom didn't have a lot of resources that I now have. And there were a lot of things that I was projecting onto my kid in terms of my trauma. Now I know that's one of the things about trauma, how it works. Unless we heal certain things about our trauma, we're going to project them onto others. And that's our subconscious in an effort for us to, at that moment, process those emotions and release them. And a lot of people don't know that's how trauma works. In fact, I am a full believer that all of us have trauma. It's just such a full, broad spectrum. It's not like we're going to be clinically diagnosed of having trauma because of something huge like a rape or something big, but we all had trauma because trauma simply means that at one point you got hurt or there was some fear and you were in a point in your life where you didn't know how to process those emotions and they get stuck in your body and they also get stuck in your subconscious mind. And now I know all of this and I know that a lot of this happens to us because before the age of 8, I don't know if you know this, Karen, but we are all of us in subconscious mode, right? So children before the age of 8 only have subconscious mind. That's what scientists figured out. And that's why all of our programming is done in those first 8 years of our lives. That's where we see through examples, especially through the authoritative figures in our lives, our parents and our teachers and everybody, we start figuring out, okay, this is how I do love. This is how I do education. This is how I do work. This is how I should be responsible or not. Or this is how I treat the other person. Like everything you start learning through your environment and the people around you. And a lot of things, unfortunately, it's not that the people around us were evil or anything, but a lot of things they were doing were passed on from their parents. And it's passed on through generations. A lot of these beliefs that we have, limiting beliefs that we call, that are just restraining us. And the trauma gets stuck. So when I realized that, I felt so empowered. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And I started getting really into it and started doing certifications. And I was like, this has been transforming my relationship with my kid. I saw me having this absolute patience that I never thought I could have. Like I thought that's something that you either had or you didn't have. And with all of these techniques and principles that I now know and how the subconscious mind works, I was able to be patient, to be compassionate, to really understand why is this happening? Why is he right now triggering me? Why is he pushing my buttons? And not react to it, which is believe me, it's not easy, but it takes practice, but we can do it. And so that empowered me so much. And I really wanted to help other women realize that this is not who we are. Like, reacting this way is not really innate to us. And we can override the system if we know how the mechanism of the mind works, so that we can tap into it and really release those traumas finally, because that's going to help us reach those higher levels of compassion and patience, and so much more that I've gotten from all of the things that I now teach other women. But that was really how it all began, because I was wanting really, like, God. I so believe in God, and I tell people, use the universe or higher power, whatever you want to, whatever you're safe with saying. But for me, it's God. And it was like, God, just give me the resources, show me the way, because I want to see this with a better light. I want to be better, a better mom. And that's really the way that I was shown. And I just went on with it.
Brilliant. I mean, it just, we do things on autopilot and we don't often actually take a look at that. What do you think made you really take a look? Because people will do things automatically, like you said. It's behaviors that have been passed down from generation to generation, and they may not be aware. So why do you, what made things different for you to really go into and realize that, yes, and take ownership, actually? That's a big thing. Well done you, because so many people are in the blame game. It's them, oh, my kid is this and that. But to actually go within and say, this is down to, this is me. There's nothing wrong with my kid. My kid is, you said, just one. Nothing wrong there. It's how I'm reacting to things. What do you think was helped you come to that conclusion and take ownership of it?
You hit the nail right on the head when you said awareness, because I always tell people that awareness really is the first step towards change. Unless you're aware that something is wrong, you're going to think, this is just who I am, or this is normal. Everybody's like this, right? Everybody gets triggered by their one-year-old. It happens. And for me, really what made me aware, I think, was that I took a vow for myself when I wanted to be a mother that I wasn't going to do the things that my mother did to me. Even though I love her and everything, she passed on a lot of her own trauma to me. And she unfortunately wasn't supported in the right way, and she didn't have the resources to know any better. But I knew that I wanted to do better. And when I saw that I wasn't doing better, it woke me up. I was like, I don't know what I have to do, but this is not okay. And I know that it's not him, again, because he's just one. It just didn't seem logical to me. I knew that it was me, because I do know that we also, all of us have a little bit of this Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde syndrome, that sometimes with our reactions, right, we're like, what the hell was that? Who was that? Oh my God, like, I exploded, I blew up, that was not okay. And in hindsight, we can say that, but unless you realize that you can change, or that there is a way to change, you're right. Some people, what stops them from doing this work, some of them, is that limiting belief of, this is just who I am, and I've always been this way. I'm just explosive, or I'm angry and I don't know any better. But it's really not who we are. And so again, it just very little, like just pulling a string, like one thing led to another. And I started to study all of these things. And that now I am a master NLPer and hypnotherapist. And I went through all these routes, but really it was to really know myself, how I could change to improve this relationship. And then amazing things happened, because I realized that not only did that improve my relationship with my kid, but it improved all of my relationships, because everything starts with you. So my relationship with my spouse was better, with my coworkers was better, with my boss. But then also I was like, isn't everything a relationship? We have a relationship with our body. We have a relationship with our money. We have a relationship with Mother Nature. Like, with everything, it really is a relationship. And if we are the ones who realize that we can change, we can always improve the other side. Always. I always tell people, don't do this for others, but it will help others. Because everything that you do for yourself that's helping you does have a ripple effect.
Mm, yeah, of course. But again, so many people will just, how do you get people to be aware of this? Now, you combine a lot of tools. You've got a lot of tools in your toolbox. Mm-hmm. So how do you go about helping people get rid of these traumas and deal with this? Do you have a specific process?
Yes. Again, I had to learn so many things to curate my own program, what I see works for others, what I saw worked for me. And a lot of these things I grabbed from different places. Some of them, I came up with them on my own, like trial and error. Again, just like everything, right? It's like it comes to you and through you. And what I've seen works the best is really first having an understanding of how these things work. So your conscious mind obviously needs to be on board with this. A lot of what I teach are metaphysical principles because the spiritual plane is so powerful in our physical world. And I want more people to know that. But a lot of people are like, oh, it doesn't work. It's who, again, we know these people, right? And so that's where in my program, I first teach the science behind it. So there are sciences that are now telling us how specifically we are the ones that are co-creating in this lifetime, okay? And I go through each one of them intensively so that the conscious mind is on board. The conscious mind starts going, huh, okay, I get it. I'm open to this. I see how this works, right? Science is catching up. I don't really know if they ever will because it's hard to catch up with spirituality in terms of proving things. But again, I teach the sciences for that purpose alone. And then I also teach everybody the principles that are going to be used because it's important to understand how the principles work in your life. And a lot of these principles, what I believe is true for everyone, no exceptions here, is that we're all like diamonds. And the creator created us, the spirits that we are, perfect. So we're perfect. We're diamonds. But we can't see this because we have so many layers of conditioning. And this can be in terms of behaviors and beliefs and our values and who we think we are. And all of those layers of mud obviously don't allow us to see the diamond. And so a lot of what I teach is going to start stripping away those layers with these principles so that we can get to the diamond. Because once you start getting to the diamond, then you really are empowered. You start realizing how you are the co-creator of your life and you're not like just this little leaf blowing in the wind, how so many people are, like you say, in autopilot. If you're not awakened to the fact, then you're not going to be living intentionally and deliberately. And so these principles that I teach, what I like about it is that I teach the misconceptions, I demystify the principles, because a lot of these principles are ancient principles, but I go into the deep of these are the misconceptions. This is what they truly are. I give case studies about my life and my clients of how I've seen it work. And then most importantly, these are the techniques to apply them, because techniques are endless. So once you understand the principle, you could even come up with a technique, right? Techniques, you can come up with another different one, or you can mix and match the ones I give you. What I like to do also is give different techniques for the principles, because unless knowledge is applied, then you're not going to have a transformation. In this application in your life is when you're really going to see the results. You're going to see how things change. You're going to see how you're not reacting like you were before. And you're going to be cultivating a lot of what I call miracles, because it really is transformative. And I do also a lot of techniques. A lot of my clients are like, wow, there are so many techniques. And I was like, you don't have to do all of these techniques. Just gravitate towards the ones that your intuition is guiding you to. And you're going to start seeing results. And when you see results, you're going to use those more. And at the end of the program, basically, I want somebody to say, hey, I created my own lifestyle for these things, because I don't want people spending thousands of hours. You don't have to go to an ashram in India to do all of these things. You know, you could do it even with 1 hour a week. If you have a specific time, right, you can do it in that time. And one of the big things that I teach that I will share with you now that is very helpful is what I called, and I created this thing called, a heart framework. So this I use for people to understand, okay, when can I apply the principles? You can really apply them anywhere. That's the beauty of it. You don't have to apply them for one thing. And so the HEART framework goes something like this. It's an acronym that I created. And so H is for hold off on the reaction. Now, I know that sounds hard, but with practice, you can certainly do it, okay? You have these like nanoseconds before the reaction. And if you are aware that this can change, you start getting better and practicing that and creating those new neural pathways that will allow you to do it more and more. So that is like the first step. And then you're going to be electing how to respond. You respond, if possible, with love and compassion. Obviously, again, that comes with practice. Maybe in the beginning, that will not be possible depending on the situation at hand. But that really helps as a second step once you start getting better with holding off on the reaction, and then you're electing the response. Then you apply the principle. The principles, again, I have these 15 principles, but the principles, what it does is it helps you regulate your nervous system. It helps you process the emotions so that the trauma is not stuck in your body and in your subconscious mind. Because the more that we can release those traumas from those moments, the more able that we are at adapting to changes in life, the more empowering that we are, the more that we are less fearful of getting out there, out of our comfort zone. And that's where a lot of the growth happens in our lives, and we can get to the next levels. So that is the third one, apply the principles. And then I have release expectations as the R from heart. You want to release expectations because, unfortunately, the human mind, our ego, the personality wants something out of the other person. If I'm doing nice or if I'm not reacting, then I expect this other person to do so and so. Well, no, we're not doing it for them. We're doing it for us. This is a process for us, and we got to release all expectations of what we think the other person might or might not do. We can't really take charge for the other person's feelings, emotions. That's their own karma. We are doing ours right here. And then finally, the T of the heart framework is teachings uncovered. When you're finally to that level and you allow yourself to go there and be like, what is this really teaching me about myself? We're not blaming, going like, why is this happening to me? What am I supposed to learn from this? What am I going to get out of this so that I can grow? Because everything, however dark it might seem, has something for us. In fact, sometimes that's what I tell people. People sometimes don't want to do this work because they might be like, why would I go there? Why would I go into my past? Why would I go into my fears? And I was like, you don't have to go like all the way there. You can start doing little by little. But when you start to overcome these fears, you're more empowered because the obstacle is the way. The fear is telling you, don't go around me, don't avoid me, actually go through me and head on do it, feel the fear and do it anyway kind of thing. Because your subconscious mind, you want your subconscious mind that also learns by repetition to understand that it's okay to go there. If I go there often and if I do this often, then my fear is going to go away. That's why people that have this fear of public speaking, it's like, great, go into Toastmasters. Because the more that you just talk and talk, the more you're going to get over this fear, because your subconscious at one point, I got it. I got that this is safe. We've been doing this so long and so much by repetition that I know that it's safe. If not, why would we even do it? And people that don't understand that mechanism, right, avoid it at all costs. Like, why would I even go there and talk? I fear that more than anything in the world. Precisely, if you fear something, like, I would say, try to do it, right? And I have a little tiny example that I want to share with you because it's funny. But in my first job, I had a boss that we just didn't get along. We just didn't see it right. I didn't know what to do since it was my first job. I was completely new to everything and I felt so disempowered. And I did something, Karen, that came from my intuition, but I was like, I need to feel empowered to change this. And I don't know how. And I was also starting to look for other jobs, but I knew that I had to do something for myself. And so I had this fear of sharks. And it was, I don't know, I guess it came from Hollywood movies. I don't know where it came from.
Jaws.
Jaws probably. Yeah. And so it's so weird, but my intuition said, conquer one of your fears so that you feel empowered, even if it didn't have to do with work. So a friend of mine had brought up that she wanted to learn scuba diving. And I went up to her and I said, okay, let's learn scuba diving together, but we got to go somewhere where I am going to scuba dive with sharks. And she's, what? And I was like, yeah, we're doing this. And I had time to process because as I took the scuba diving and everything, and finally we went to Belize, to the Blue Hole, to scuba dive with sharks, I had all of those months to process that, okay, I'm doing this. I don't know how, but I'm doing this. And even when I was already getting in the water, I was like, this is crazy. This is nuts. Don't do it. And it's interesting, but a lot of people that don't understand how the mind works sometimes take those things that your mind is saying as don't do it. This is bad, right? But that's not your intuition. Your intuition, I tell people, that one's always guiding you with love and with compassion, not with fear. And so I knew that this was just fear coming from my ego mind, keeping me safe, which is great if it's 2 in the morning and you're going to walk down a dark alley and it's don't do it. Okay, yeah, for sure. Don't do it. But I knew this was different. And so I was like, this one I have to do. And when I did it, it was like so profound. It was like beautiful. When I was there with the sharks, it just felt like so peaceful. I felt no fear for them. Like they were just beautiful creatures. Like I just was like, why am I fearing these animals? Like they're just perfect. Like it felt so amazing. And I had this high for a week or two. And when I came back to work, that started shifting everything around. Just my energy, just from that thing that I had been doing that had nothing to do with work. It already empowered me to change again that vibration of myself, that embodying. And that started to move things around because, again, you're moving things with energy, you're transforming things. People see that you're happier, that you're more on purpose, and they're like, what's going on? And I knew that it had been that. And it's so funny because how you do one thing is how you do everything. And since everything's connected, if you're able to do one thing and get out of your comfort zone, I tell people, do it. Whatever it is, whatever your fear is, try to go out there and do it because I will help you start empowering yourself and finding yourself, finding also your intuition. Because unfortunately, before we're 8, I tell people, a lot of us were told, like, you don't know any better. Like how many of us were told, no, don't do that. You don't know. You don't know. You don't know. Okay, if you hear enough, you don't know, you doubt yourself when you're older, right? You're like, you start losing touch of your intuition, which is your inner guidance, because you're like, no, I don't know. I've been told that I don't know. And how many adults are like, help me choose. Help, what do you think? What do you think? And you're like, you can listen to yourself. I tell this to my kids now. It's you do know what to do. Listen to yourself. Trust yourself.
I mean, there it is, really. We have been so conditioned to not trust our intuition that some people are just so far away from that. Where that start, like you say, that starts in school, constantly being told. And do you think that's really a, you know, massive part of the problem? Why people have created, like you say, fear stops people from going out of their comfort zone. Everybody's created these prisons for themselves. You would never have experienced that amazing experience in Belize if you had allowed your fears to hold you back. But do you think that's actually what you said is it really is the key, that we all have this inner knowing and we don't tend to listen to it until we are aware of this?
Yes, that is just one of the many things. That's actually one of the principles that I teach, one of the 15 ones, that is it. But there are so many things. That's the thing. If it were just one thing, if it's not one thing, unfortunately. But again,
what else holds people back, do you think?
I think what holds people back, besides not listening to themselves because they've been told that they don't know, is, again, these unprocessed traumas that we also all have. Now, I don't tell people you have to resolve all of your traumas. You have to get rid of all of your limiting beliefs in order to manifest the life that you want. No, that is not it. But what I do know now of how the subconscious mind works is that the subconscious mind knows when to bring up a certain trauma from the past, because one of the ways that the subconscious mind works is that something that happened that was very traumatic to you gets stored in the unconscious, but also it's kept away from you. So sometimes we don't even remember these things. That's why a lot of us have these dark years of our childhood when you might not remember a lot of things. I don't remember a lot of my childhood. And it's, again, it's not that my childhood was so bad compared to other people, but everybody's living like their own dark, traumatic events. And so there are a lot of things that my subconscious, I know that it hides them away from your conscious mind in an effort to protect you. Okay, you didn't know how to handle this and it gets put away for a later time. The subconscious mind is very smart and it knows when to bring it up. And it will bring it up for you to heal. Sometimes, unfortunately, something triggers that and it brings it up, but it brings it up and if we're not aware of it, we react to it. And so it's a reenactment of the trauma. So if you're reacting to something that has been stuck from way, way before. And unless you know that is how the mechanism of the mind works, you're not going to know and understand why this keeps happening to you. And you start reliving that trauma, sometimes with negative patterns. You see these people that are with the same different harming person that they've been choosing over and over again. And by the third or fourth time, everybody else sees it, but they don't. And you're like, oh my God, it's the same guy. It looks different, but it's the same person. You're choosing the same person. So whenever you see a negative pattern in your life, know that it's there for a reason. Okay, your subconscious mind is really trying to get you to heal from it and to break the cycle. And unless you know this, again, unless you're aware of this, you're going to think this is just life. I don't know, but this keeps happening to me. Why? Why does this keep happening to me? And that's why people like myself that are in the healing modalities love for people to break patterns, because we understand that this is not how it's supposed to be. This is not how we're supposed to live our lives, but we weren't taught any better. I would love it if in the future in education, teachers would know about these things. So at least a little bit would trickle into the kids, right? And things that they're telling kids, right? Thankfully, I think we're getting better. Right? Like in terms of the shaming people and everything. But a lot of the kids were shamed before for who they were when they, in fact, are not that person that they've been told to be. So an example that I tell people is never, ever, please tell a kid you're a bad boy or you're a bad girl, because that's their identity, which is like the highest of your subconscious, who you are. It's better to say your behavior was not the correct one in this case. Let's see how we can change your behavior. But you are perfect. I tell my kids, mm-hmm. You are perfect just as you are. You are loved unconditionally.
Certain, yes. The way you say things can just have a massive impact. But again, so many people, again, are just in that programming of repeating stuff that their parents said to them as kids. I can remember when my kids were little, sometimes something will come out of my mouth and it will stop me. Like, oh, my goodness, I sound like my mother. And it just goes to show how deeply ingrained this can be, and that I was operating on autopilot until it was like, oh, as the words came out my mouth, that made me aware of, oh my goodness, what am I saying?
Exactly. It happens to all of us. Again, we're not to blame. This is not to blame anybody that's out there doing it. Like, it doesn't help. Believe me, I had so many nights of not sleeping, blaming and guilting myself. And like, I'm the worst mother in the world. And that does not help anybody. Okay. Those are vibrations and negative emotions that are just going to bring you down, and they're not going to make you choose any better. That's not the way to go about it. The way to go about it is understanding, okay, why is this happening so that I can override the mechanism? Because once you understand how the mechanism works, you can override it. It's like going to the gym. I tell people, like, let's say you don't know anything about how the body works with exercise and with food. And you start going to the gym and you're like, I want to lose weight. And you go every day. And like into a month, you're like, why am I not losing weight? I'm actually gaining weight. Like something's wrong here. If you don't understand that, it's because you've been eating a lot more after the gym and you're eating all the wrong foods, even though you're going to the gym, that's not going to offset the weight, right? But we obviously, this is very logical for us now because we know how the body works with food and with exercise. But it's just the same way with a subconscious mind. If we don't know how the trauma works, how the subconscious mind understands things, how it gets stuck in us, then we don't know what to say that is going to be actually good, or that we're going to actually be programming something bad in our kids or even in ourselves. Our self-talk is just horrible. The things we say to ourselves, we would never say them to our best friends. And we say them to ourselves constantly. So all of those things are part of my program because I really believe that, again, when you understand how your mind works, then you're like, huh, I know what's been going on here. I know what's going on and I can start choosing differently. So this weekend, I got triggered through social media. I was reading something and something triggered me in terms of relationships. I don't remember what I read, but I was with my husband and we got into an argument because he's, I want to watch the football. And I'm like, you've been watching like 4 hours. Let's watch a movie. And he's okay if you want, but like, this is a good game. Maybe we should watch a game. And because I was triggered from the social media post that I had just read, I exploded. And this rarely happens to me. But again, this is a lifelong thing that we're learning. We're in constant progress. It's not like you're going to dominate it and be like, oh, I'm a master at this. I don't react ever. And that day I reacted and I had to leave him for a while so that I could calm down. And when I was able to calm down, I was like, oh my God, I'm totally reacting to the social media post. Why? What was it triggering in me? Yes, this. And I started journaling. And again, now that I know what to do, I'm able to calm myself down, process my emotion and let it go, do journaling, which helps me out, and then come back. And within an hour, I had come back and I'm like, look, I'm sorry, babe. I totally overreacted. I read this thing online. It had nothing to do with you, but it triggered some stuff from my childhood. And I got into kind of a bad place and I took it out on you because you were there. And he's, oh, I get it. It's fine. Let's watch a movie, whatever. And we had a great time. But how many of us don't like completely react? And because we don't know where things are coming from and because we don't know how to process the emotion and get stuck in our body and everything, like relationships don't survive, right? Because we're like blaming them. Like, you made me mad. You were the one who didn't want to watch the movie with me. You don't love me. You don't care for me. You are abandoning me just like my parents did or whatever. Like, things start coming at you to that person because you're projecting your trauma. And it is there again for you to heal. But if you don't know how that's happening and you don't know how to heal it, you're just going to get overridden by it. And you're going to be blaming others and living in that autopilot. And your life is not going to be so great because you're not going to understand why is this happening.
So from what you shared there, it just sounds that when you are, number one, aware of this, and number two, when you learn these tools, we're human, so we are going to react to things, but it just goes to show when you have got the tools that you're just not going to stay there for so long. It's okay to react. If you can shorten the time that you have to make you think, make you question, I suppose it's about questioning yourself so that then you can pick up a tool and release it. So for you, what would you have any, I don't know, three top tips on how people can help clear their trauma so that they can have happy relationships? And like you say, relationships with anything, whether that's your children, your parents, your partner, your money, whatever.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about it here, but the first thing is that people become aware that their past behaviors are not them. That's not who you are. That's just the past. You didn't know any better, and your future can be so different when you decide that it can be. You have the awareness that's not you, okay? So a lot of people think, oh, this is just me. No. Okay, you can change who you are because, again, those are just behaviors. Behaviors usually stem from beliefs. So you can still change your beliefs. They're not set in stone. I tell people this all the time, too. Like, people have this misconception about beliefs. Like, my beliefs are these. And I'm like, okay, beliefs. Don't ask yourself if your beliefs are true. Ask yourself if your belief is serving you. Is this being useful to me for my life? If it's not being useful, then that belief has to go. You can change it. And so change the belief that, okay, this part of me, this aggressive part of me, or however I am, is not serving me, okay, for my relationships or avoidance or whatever it is that you're doing. This awareness already helps you realize that is not who you are. And if you do want a better future, you can change that. So that's the first thing. Start being aware of what are your triggers. So whenever something is triggering you and you react, don't just ignore it. Look into it, maybe journal about it. Just ask yourself. Your subconscious loves questions. Ask yourself right now, why did I react? Okay, what is this really about? And see what comes up. You don't even have to know. Just write for 5-10 minutes, right? Because your subconscious, again, loves answering questions. And that's also when your intuition comes to you and through you. And you could start being surprised of what you're going to start writing down. Simply it. And then the third thing that I would tell people is if you can do something proactive to regulate your nervous system so that you're not in this chronic stress mode that a lot of people find themselves in right now, which is hurting not only your mind, but your actual body. And I could talk about this for hours, which we don't have today, but stress is just something, again, it's a big part of my program, stress and trauma. But stress, chronic stress, is just hurting our body so much. And so if you can proactively self-regulate, it's like I tell people, look, I eat junk food on the weekends. I'm okay with that. But my rule is that on the weekends, I eat some bad stuff. And then during the week, I'm super healthy. That helps me. That offsets my bad stuff. I'm not a draconian. I'm not like extremist. Like you don't, it's not like never eat junk food. I'm like, okay, for me, it's like my life, the way I live it is I do a lot of things. I allow myself to do a lot of things, but I also balance myself. So to balance your chronic stress, do something proactive to regulate your nervous system. And this can be going into nature and grounding yourself. Just take off your shoes, just going into nature and letting Mother Nature do its thing through your body. Even if you can do that half an hour, even if it's an hour a week or whatever, like that just helps you be. Leave your phone away, leave everything away. Just be immersed with just nature for an hour. Or whenever you are being stressed out about work, even if you have only 10 minutes, right? Instead of grabbing that third or fourth cup of coffee at 3 or 4 in the afternoon, go and take a walk in the park or go and sit in the parking lot in your car and do some breathing. Just deep, mindful breaths. It doesn't have to do anything specific. It's just slowly deep breaths for 5 minutes. That is it. Because you are deliberately there, consciously lowering those brain waves, okay, that help you let go of that stress. And you're just being intentional about what you're doing. Like I'm intentionally right now being with my body and allowing this to release. And of course, there's a lot of techniques that I teach in the program, but these are just very basic things that people can start doing to start tapping into that. Because that is going to give you a brief pause that will help you to, again, let go of a lot of that stress and start just seeing your patterns, your negative patterns, because you can break them. I want people to live better lives.
Love that. And isn't it interesting that it's always the simple things, but done, like you said, that word, being intentional about it. Because some people will just think, oh, that seems to, we want to overcomplicate things. That's what I'm saying. Yes. And yet, mm-hmm. those three tips are fantastic. And it's is going to have an effect on people, but they mm-hmm. sound so simple. Anybody could do them at any time. It doesn't cost any money.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Right?
They're yeah. free. And yet, even when people are aware, again, what do you think is holding people back from actually taking action and creating a habit around those three, even just those three things?
Unfortunately, I think we get caught up in the drama of life. And until something happens that forces us to do this, like in my case, it was my kid and how I saw that I was treating him, that I was like, this is horrible. So for me, that was like my rock bottom. But a lot of people are not proactive. They don't see that they have to unless, oh my God, now I got sick. Now I have to change my diet. Now I have to change my lifestyle. Now I have to be proactive in my stress. But because you've already gone to that point, I'm like, don't wait yeah. to that point to get to that point. Be better about your life now. You can start making those little changes. But again, unfortunately, you can lead a camel to drink water, but you can't make them drink. Yeah. So I tell people that want to join my course, like, I'm like, what else can you tell me to join? And I was like, I'm not going to convince you. I'm here to tell you to listen to yourself. Listen to your intuition. If something is guiding you and saying yes, okay. If not, no, because there's so many ways to go about it. My way is not like the truth. Everybody has their own truth. Everybody has their own teachers. Everybody has their own things. So just be guided by yourself. Start listening to yourself. You do know what to do. Follow even little things. I tell people, if you start doing little things that follow your intuition, like whatever, it can be something so dumb. Okay, you're driving and your intuition is take a right here to go to your house in a different route. And you're like, why would I do that? It's not logical at all. Do it. I'm like, the more you do the little things, right, your intuition is going to be louder and it's going to be easier for you to know when it's there, because we've shut it down so many years. That's the thing. We're not aware of it and we can't hear it. It's like that whisper. It's only a whisper because we're not really used to it. Again, in my academy, I teach people to attune to it so that you can listen to it more and more, because it does know where to guide you and it's guiding you every step of the way. So we're not alone in that sense. And we have that moral compass and that inner compass that is telling us what to do, where to go, who to talk to. The doors are opening up, but you have to follow it. You have to do it.
There you go. We just need to listen. We need to get quiet
yeah.
and listen. Rather than like you said, is as human beings, we do wait till we said it there. When you have to start, don't wait till then. To the listeners, if they want to delve into this and work with you, what should the listeners do next?
I have several free things, and I have the link for a lot of the free empowering resources that I give to the people that are following me. If they want to start trying those things, those are like a minuscule part of the Becoming a Heart for Miracles Academy. That's like my signature program. That one has everything that I've ever learned, and it's compact, and it's for those people that are guided to really transform their lives. Because on that one, you're going to really learn not only how to release trauma, how to manage stress, you're going to learn about the ego mind versus your highest self, how to get into your intuition. And again, I do have all these principles that they're not hard to do. They're simple principles, but there are many of them because I believe that not everything works for one person. It's not a one size fits all. So you're going to be building your own thing and whatever works for your own lifestyle. So that's the work that I do with people that I believe is guiding them to have this huge transformation of being more empowered in their lives. And really, if you're a mother, wow, like I would do it just because you're going to know how to be with your kids. You don't even need to know all the parenting tools anymore because you have that connection that stems from who you are, who you have become. You have become this person that is knowing what to say to your kids. They see you and they learn from by example. They learn from who you are. They see me meditating. They see me doing a lot of the techniques that I teach, and they're starting to do it on their own. So they know how to regulate their own self nervous system and everything. They know these things, not because of what I tell them to do, but because they see me doing it. And that is amazing for the generations to come, because they're not going to know how to do this. Now, if you have something very specific, very traumatic that you want to resolve in a quick session, that's what the rapid resolution therapy is for. And that's why that has been the latest modality that I studied. And that one works great for something big. So if you have something that has been keeping you stuck, or something that happened to you that was horrible, if it's grief, if it's rape, if it's something that you really want to release with one 90-minute session, I have seen that this is the best therapy for that, better than anything that I've seen. And that's why I am doing those one-on-one sessions. So that is another way that people can work with me in rapid resolution therapy. Rapid resolution therapy is not traditional psychotherapy. It's more like a philosophy of life, but it really is amazing how it works, because it is like a multi-level communication strategy. So what it does is that the facilitator, in this case me, is a person that does more of the talking. So it's not like in psychotherapy where the client is doing a lot of the talking. I'm the one that I'm doing the talking, and a lot of it is for the conscious mind to understand and grasp these concepts of how trauma and anxiety and a lot of things work. And it's meshed with subconscious techniques that help the mind, like hypnosis and a lot of other things. But it's done in a way that is almost like a conversation. It's very lighthearted. There's a lot of laughter in it as well. So it's not like doom and gloom. And it really has a positive effect, again, because it manages to align the conscious with the subconscious. So I say that this is just the beauty of RRT and how it works so efficiently with one thing that has been stuck there. Wonderful. That's the beauty of it. Yes.
If you feel like you're stuck, again, any to the listeners, how do they get more information or book with that? Where do they need to go? What do they need to do?
I put the link, and in that link is to my website. So that one has the free resources. It also has the signature program, Becoming Art for Miracles Academy. There's also another program I teach, Meditation Demystified, if you want to go deeper into meditation and how to do it in the right way, the more optimal way from the 20 years or so that I've been doing it. And finally, the RRT, which is one-on-one sessions that I have. So all of that is there on my website, michelleduffy1111.com. And yeah, I'm just so thrilled when people get these huge breakthroughs. So exciting.
Yes, it must make you feel fantastic when you see the transformations.
Yes. When people come to me and they're like, I stopped screaming, my kids are doing better, I am just more relaxed, more patient, just feeling the joy of just being there and not hurting myself with all the guilt of, oh no, I did this again. Like it's a process. But once you get better at it, you feel so great to have that connection with your kids, with your spouse, with other people. It's amazing the things that can happen.
Thank you so much for your time today, Michelle. It's been fascinating, actually. I love this, and I love the fact that it is combining the science more with the spirituality, which I think really helps people that haven't maybe heard of some of these things. It brings them closer in to sort of have a look. So, yeah, what you're doing is absolutely amazing. So, listeners, go and check out Michelle's website. And I will be back next week. We only have 4 more episodes of A Coffee with Karen because we are completely rebranding. And the reason is because, look, I just love doing business via podcasting. And so many of the coaches and therapists that I have on this show, quite often, if they don't host their own podcast, they are using podcasting to get their message out there. So this is a fantastic medium to grow your audience, get the message out there to the people who need to hear it, and also so that you can help more people. I will be back next week for the third from last of the Copy with Karen, and we'll just be having a bit of a rebrand. So thank you for listening. Please reach out. If you have any questions, if you want to shout out, then please reach out to me, hit the review button, and I will see you next week. Bye for now.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you, everyone.
The Coffee with Karen podcast, a weekly chat show discussing everything from holistic health to current affairs from a mental, physical, and spiritual perspective. Get your weekly cup of positivity with a sprinkling of woo-woo.